Call to the booth. We back with this free agency recap show. And I already told y'all I'm rocking with Arizona, but we're going to see what other teams going to surprise us this season. Paul, drop that beat.
We're back with more Call to the Booth. That's Aqib Talib. I'm Harrison Sanford. A bunch of money was handed out over this past week during free agency. We're going to recap some of the top signings when it comes to the wide receiver side and overall look at some teams that might be elevating their status throughout the league. But Aqib, as we saw contracts being given out and you were a free agent at once, one of the things that a lot of guys had to pay attention to, not just the money, not just the quarterback potentially if you're on the offensive side of the ball, but also the head coach, because the wrong head coach could send you on the wrong path in your career. I would love for you to elaborate on maybe deciding head coaches, but before you do that, can you tell me who your favorite head coach was?
Oh, favorite head coach. Is this favorite head coach in the NFL or all time, or what are we talking about here, Harrison?
We should also allow for you to give a heads up or a big shout out to somebody who might not be more known to our audience. So you could name like a high school, middle school, college coach, yes. But okay. One that somebody would know, that'd be great as well.
All right, my favorite head coach of all time, I'm going to say Raheem Morris, man, for the Bucks. He was our head coach, 3 years for the Bucks. He started off as my DB coach. Then, as quick as he was the D coordinator, he was the head coach like a week later, you know what I'm saying? Had some good seasons, had some bad seasons, but the overall vibe of that team, man, was like no other, you know what I'm saying? And it was fun, man. He was a young head coach. We had a young team, man, and we had a lot of fun. Even when we lost games, we had fun. We won games, we had fun. So, Raheem Moore is definitely close. Mark Mangino, super close, man. He is almost tied for first, man. He was one of my favorite, one of the most competitive guys I ever been around. So, Mark Mangino, Raheem Morris, it's between them two guys.
The number one trait that you want in your head coach?
Confidence. I want him to be so confident, man, that it feeds throughout the locker room. So, number one trait that's going to draw me to the team is a head coach with confidence. That's why I went to Kansas. Man, Gino was a cocky, super confident guy, man. I'm like, he going to send me to the league. He made me feel like he was going to send me to the league. That's how he came in my living room when I was in high school. So definitely confidence.
Well, speaking of confidence, it seems as if Kenny Golladay has confidence in Daniel Jones and Joe Judge. The head coach for the New York Giants, signed a 4-year, $72 million deal. In this segment, we're going to break down 6 impact wide receiver signings. He's the first one. I know you were angling for him or encouraging him to potentially go, at least through the show, to go to the Miami Dolphins, but he ends up in the NFC East. What were your immediate thoughts?
I think it's good, man. A great run game like that. You got Saquon. You know, he draw a lot of attention. He make you put 8 guys in a box. And then to complement that, you need a guy who make you take that 8th guy out the box, man. And that's the perfect guy for the job. Like I said before, the best 50-50 ball guy in the league right now, in my opinion. So I think it's a perfect complement for what they're trying to do, man. They don't really have that number one guy. They got that number one guy now. So we'll see how it go.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how his positioning now maybe puts the other players, and maybe it complements everybody a bit better now, because Darius Slayton now can go to the outside. Mm-hmm. You can have Sterling Shepard in the slot. You still have Evan Ingram. This is probably a make it or break it year for Daniel Jones.
It pretty much may be, man. So if he don't be productive this year, they definitely will be looking for another quarterback. Quarterback is almost like head coach, man. It's a short leash. You better show some promising stuff early or they're going to move on. So definitely a make it or break it for Daniel Jones. But I think he got a key piece. He didn't have an X receiver. You ain't have a number one guy. And that's a crucial piece for the run game, for the other receivers, for everybody. So I think that Kenny Golladay pickup, it'll do work for the Giants.
And we saw last year how competitive their defense was. Things are looking up for them in that division. Potentially, we're going to talk about another team in the division who made some upgrades as well. But we're going to go to a guy who used to terrorize the New York Giants, I would know, being a fan. DeSean Jackson, now signing with the Los Angeles Rams, a one-year deal. I know you know DeSean well. I know you were happy for the deal. What does he do for Matthew Stafford?
Man, he just stretched the field. The Rams always had good receivers. And you know, in that offense, they need that one guy like Cooks who really going to stretch that field. They ain't really had that guy last year. So, man, DeSean will fit right in. He still can run. He's going to come back healthy. He had a great offseason. See, when you get hurt, that's the thing when you get hurt. You automatically just have a great offseason because you're trying to get back, man. So I know he's going to come back in some great shape. And he'll be that up top guy for the Rams. And with that offense, you need that. You have to have that. So he got that. They got that back in their offense now. Cooper Kupp could work the underneath. The young bull could work the underneath stuff. Let Sean go up top. I think any at home, man, he's going to be comfortable. I think it'll be a perfect fit for both sides.
Interestingly enough, the Eagles, they probably didn't think they were going to get back to DeSean Jackson. Made a move or made a attempt to get Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju turned down more money to go back to Pittsburgh. Considering where, if you were Juju, would you have gone back to Pittsburgh to play with Big Ben for maybe one more year at $8 million?
Definitely.
Or taken a pay bump and played in Philadelphia?
Well, I think Juju pretty much had one-year deals out there, man. So it wasn't a huge bag out there for him that was really going to pull him. If I was Juju, if it was a huge bag that was going to pull me from Pittsburgh, I'd go. But if I was in that situation, a bunch of one-year deals, man, I'm staying right where I'm at. I'm comfortable here. I know the playbook. I know what Big Ben going to do. And we started off, 13-0 or something? That's a good football team. So late injuries really, really bit that team. And he wanted to win games. So, you know, Pittsburgh, they're always in the runnings, man. So he did the right thing.
Popular brand he's playing with as well. You've been a guy who's been on the market before. Juju has a name brand. He's a commodity outside of just playing football. He's also known well. Do you think he was maybe taken aback by some of the offers that he saw other guys get that he didn't get? Like, obviously, the Kenny Golladay deal is...
Yeah.
A big one. You saw Corey Davis get a deal with the New York Jets. Even Will Fuller got more to go to Miami. And maybe that's was similar to what he was going to get in Philadelphia. But how do you think he, knowing the star or the name commodity that he is, how do you think he took that?
Well, I mean, I know he somebody in his camp was kind of telling him, you know, it's kind of overcrowded. It's an overcrowded market at receivers. Every year is one position that is like, it's a lot of guys who can play ball at this position. And that kind of hurt that kind of hurt them for the offseason. You know what I'm saying? I was part of that one time. Oh, it was a bunch of corners, free agents. We all signed one-year, $6 million deals. So, and it's good corners coming out. When it's good people at that position coming out of college and you got a bunch of free agents at the same time, guys know, like, you know what I'm saying? You just going to get the short end of the stick. A few guys going to get paid. Them top guys going to get paid. And they, I guess Juju wasn't one of those top guys. So, I mean, I don't know how he look at it, but it's part of the business, man. That's why you got another year. You go make $8, $9 million 1 year, and you right back at the table. You got to prove it here. So I think he'll do his thing, man. He'll be right back at the table ready for a bag.
Speaking of somebody who did change locations, didn't stay, there's a whole mess going on in Houston. Will Fuller is now with the Miami Dolphins. How do you think he potentially works there with Tua? Obviously, you make the move if you have the opportunity to go there. But how do you think he helps Tua Tagovailoa?
Man, I think this is one of the best plays to me of free agency, man. You put Will Fuller, add him with Devontae Parker. Now they got a Z receiver who can really, really stretch the field. Tua throw a great deep ball, man. He just need a guy who can really go get it. Now he got it. So them just keys to offenses that make you great. You look at all them. All the big-time offenses, they got a guy who can really, really stretch the field. They got a tight end who could work this side. They got a ex-receiver, a real number one receiver. So I think it was just a key piece that the Dolphins was missing, man. The Dolphins is a dangerous football team. I'm starting to like the Dolphins, man. So you add Will Fuller, and that just adds a level of speed that they really didn't have. That's what they was missing. So I'm excited to see it.
the AFC East is going to be a lot tougher than it was last year with Bill re-upping on a bunch of players. You still got the Buffalo Bills. You see the Miami Dolphins played well last year. You still don't know what's going to happen with the Jets, but you would like to think that they are trying to improve as well. Interesting move here for the Washington football team, getting very dynamic with their wide receivers, signing Curtis Samuel. Now, last year, Curtis Samuel was somebody who was picked up on the waiver wire. And we haven't talked about fantasy football too much, so I'm going to throw this one out there at you. If you are drafting Curtis Samuel, is he a wide receiver one, a wide receiver two, or is he a flex? Or is he still somebody that you wait for the waiver wires? Ryan Fitzpatrick is his new quarterback. He's there with Terry McLaurin.
I see Samuel as like a number two guy. So if you're a number two guy, I mean, in that offense, not as far as fantasy football go, I see him on his offense, he's like the number two guy. McLaurin going to be the number one guy. So, man, if I'm talking about number two guys, man, you almost my flex or waiver wire guy, in my opinion. So them your first two receivers you draft, they probably going to be starters. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be starters. They're going to be the number one receiver on their team. And you had two number one receivers. Your flex is probably a number two guy, maybe a running back, a slot guy, or something like that. So I say a flex guy. I look at Samuel as a flex.
Well, the one thing that's interesting about him, and we saw flashes of this in Carolina, he's not just necessarily going to catch passes. There were sometimes he would run reverses.
Right.
He was very dynamic. So I think he might have a little bit more allure than your typical wide receiver flex, waiver wire type of guy. Maybe a nice late flyer, maybe.
Yeah, one of Percy Harvin type of guys. You want to get the ball in his hand. He can catch fades. He can run tosses for you, reverses. He can do everything, man. So, you know, sometimes those guys, they be so involved in the defensive game plan. Them the kind of guys you take out the game. We got to know every time he on the field, we know where he at. So, you know, they have off and on games, in my opinion, man. So, you know, I pick number one receivers, X receivers. Them my first two receivers I'm going to pick. And then, you know, kind of guys who are you, my reverse slash, you know, screen guy. If you one of those kind of guys, that's a flex role, in my opinion, man. It's hit or miss. He could really help us some weeks. Some weeks he's not that productive. So that's just how I look at it, Harrison.
So last one, and we'll go back to a team that I know you like going for this upcoming season. And you've covered wide receivers that have been ultra athletic, ultra talented in the primes of their careers.
Yeah.
And you've also covered guys who are coming towards the end of their careers. From what you saw from AJ Green this year, what was different from his level of play, and how much do you think what he can bring to Arizona helps Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, and a newly added J.J. Watt, at least on the defensive end, win that division?
I think the A.J. Green we see today, he probably, you know, I say probably like year 10 or 11. Correct me if I'm wrong, Paul, but I think about a 10, year 11, everybody loses a step, right? So you can see he lost a step, but he's still a good receiver, man. He still creates separation. He still can make 50-50 catches. So I think he's still going to take some of the pressure off Hopkins, and he just get in more depth, man. I don't really know the status of Larry. I don't think Larry signed right now. So I think he made it. He's like he a veteran presence, man. He'll take some of the pressure off Hopkins, but I still think Kurt and Hop is really pretty much going to start on the outside, in my opinion. I think Christian Kirk, you can't take that explosiveness off the field. So he's kind of their speed guy on the outside, so I don't really see them taking that off the field. But I see a lot of depth, though, man. When guys get hurt, you got AJ Green filling in, and of course they have packages where all three of them on the field at the same time. So, man, I think he just bring a lot of depth, a lot of veteran presence to that team.
So I think Kenyon Drake is no longer on the team. So I got to double check that. But I believe Kenyon Drake signed.
Yeah, Drake gone.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah. Yeah, Kenyon Drake, landed with the Raiders. Do you think that Kyler has all that he needs offensively to make that a top five offensive unit?
Well, I think they need a running back. I think they need an explosive running back. What pick do they have, Paul? I think they need an explosive running back, and then that offense would be complete. So this draft, I see them going running back, man. The O-line is cool. They can go O-line, running back. But if they get a running back, who knows, a Kenyon Drake type guy or even more explosive who can make plays. One of these, you know how these running backs come out of college. It's always three or four of them who go crazy. So if they able to land one of those three or four who's ready for the league, who's going to come out and be explosive, man, catching passes and running the ball, then I will put them as one of the top offenses in the NFL.
Cardinals have the 16th pick in round one of the NFL draft. When we come back with Cole to the booth, we're actually going to talk about the Cardinals potentially and other teams that we envision maybe making a big move in their divisions next season. But we'll be right back with Cole to the booth.
Call to the booth. The 2020 season is over, but we'll still be here for 2021, man. We talking free agents, drafts, everything football. We'll be here talking about it. So follow us on the gram, subscribe to the page, follow us on Twitter at Call to the Booth. Now back to the show.
We're back with more Call to the Booth. Free agency is not over, but it's pretty much come to a wrap here. There's still some minor names that are out there. Ndamukong Suh, Leonard Fournette are some of them. But for the most part, a lot of the odds now are coming out from Vegas as it pertains to next season. We'll see what happens and how the NFL draft might influence that. But as of now, we have some odds. Our producer, Paul Aspen's coming in. He's going to give us some odds. Akeem's going to kick back some feedback on it. Then we'll just keep going through until we pretty much cover some of the more intriguing odds that we have out there.
All right. So Akeem, he already told us about Arizona, the Cardinals. Akeem, you're talking about them when they were still 7-1. They made some moves. They're down to 5.5-1. So way ahead of the market on that. Let's move over the rest of the NFC. So in the NFC North, Lions are 28-1. You got your guy Jared Goff, guest of the show. But any reason to talk about the Lions?
Well, I am a huge Jared Goff fan, but in the same division with A-Rod, I don't see him doing too much. I pass.
Unfortunately for Jared Goff, he won't have Marvin Jones, who ended up with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. He won't have Kenny Galladay, obviously, with the New York Giants. Right now, his starting wide receivers, Rashard Perryman, Tyrell Williams, doesn't seem like an ideal fit for somebody who's trying to, I guess, maybe make a reclaim his name in a different market for sure. Paul, what else we got?
All right, so let's move to the NFC South. So the Falcons trying to go worst to first at 12-1. Still, obviously, got the NFC or the NFL champs, the Bucs, in that division, and they totally retooled. So, what do you got on the Falcons, Akeem?
Well, the Falcons is an if factor. If they draft one of these young boy quarterbacks, man, and they ride with him and they get him in there, I think the team will rally around him, and they got a super talented group on offense. And I think they may be able to do something. Maybe with Drew Brees retiring, you know, it's a second place looming somewhere for the Falcons. But if they ride with my guy Matt Ryan, then I see a lot of what happened last year, man. A bunch of sacks, you know what I'm saying? It's 2021. We gotta create that extra second if you want to be successful, unless you Tom Brady. So, you know, it's an if factor with them, man. If they get that old state kid to play quarterback for them, I could see that team catching fire.
Also, on Wednesday, they signed Mike Davis to a 2-year, $5.5 million deal. Maybe another running back that could help him hold on to leads, because we all know how the Falcons have been doing with leads for the past couple of years. Paul, what you got?
So, NFC East, last division in the NFC. So, NFC East, we all know it was a mess last year. You know, Washington football team rose to the top at the end. Eagles are 5-1. Giants are like 4.5-1, depending on where you look. So kind of either of those teams, you know, got Jalen Hurts in Philly, obviously, new regime there. Giants adding some pieces in free agency. How do you, you know, still wide open, or how do you see the East playing out?
I like both of these teams. I love Jalen Hurts in Philly. But I think both of these teams is a couple years away. They're still young. They're still building, man. I think they're about a year or two away. I like the Cowboys to win the division. I like Washington to be playing for that second place. So I guess I pass.
We're seeing it might be a rejuvenation of this division. Last year it was down bad,
right. Down
real bad. But all these teams made some big moves in the offseason. The biggest move made for the Cowboys is just getting a healthy Dak Prescott. But it looks like all these teams are trending on the way up.
Last few years they've been bad.
Yeah, for sure. I guess we should jump over to the AFC.
Yeah. So let's start AFC East. So the Jets, obviously, you know, number two pick in the draft, have made some moves in free agency. They're at 15-1 to win the division. Too soon to think about the Jets winning the AFC East. You just were talking about it, McKee, like how tough that division is going to be this year.
Man, it's definitely going to be tough. But it's a quarterback-driven league. So until they got a quarterback on their roster who I'm confident in, I'll pass.
All right, yeah, AFC North, like, I wanna believe in the Bengals a little bit, but it's tough for me too. But 23-1 to keep. Is you seeing anything you like in Cincinnati for them to make a run in the AFC North? Another tough division.
Another, like you said, another tough division. Another team who about 2 or 3 years away, man. Once the Big Ben burned out and he's gone, and you know, then Cincinnati will start coming with a young Burrow, a year three, year four Burrow. But right now, division too tough. I'll pass.
Big loss for them as well. Very underrated because the Bengals have been getting clowned, at least by the national media, for a couple years now. But Will Jackson ranked out as one of the top DBs in the league, and now he's with the Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
So big loss for the Bengals on that side of the ball as well. And I think this would be – I think this is what, year three for – head coach Taylor?
Zach Taylor.
Yeah, Zach Taylor. This might be pivotal season for him as a head coach to make some improvements. Obviously, having a healthy Joe Burrow would play a role there as well.
All right, AFC South. So the longest odds are actually the Texans, but Harrison, you just mentioned it, how much of a mess is going on in Houston. We're going to focus on the Jaguars. They're the worst to first potential team. So they're 10-1. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer. Any noise they can make in the AFC South to keep?
Man, with the mess that's going on in Houston, we don't know what's going to happen with that. And, you know, it's this Trevor Lawrence. I like this kid since QB1 on Netflix. You know what I'm saying? So he's one of those guys. He's one of those special guys. It's just a matter how quick he pick up the speed of the NFL. I don't think it'll be a problem, man. And with Urban Meyer coming, it's a new regime there in Jacksonville. And I kind of like it, man. I think it's going to come out hot. And I think they can do something, man. I like the Colts to win the division. But I like the Jags to come in and be a close second. I like them to come out and catch fire.
They do have some sneaky weapons.
They got a lot of weapons, a bunch of weapons. And it's really all going to be on Trevor Lawrence, man. If Trevor Lawrence come out and he adapt to the NFL quick, it should be a college-style offense. He's not going to have a problem learning the offense because it's Urban Meyer, so it's going to be kind of similar to what he knows. But if he can come out and just, you know, have that confidence and that shit feed through the rest of that locker room, man, Jacksonville, they could be one of them worst the first teams, especially in that division.
So it looks like Trevor Lawrence will probably be that pick there. What do you think happens to Gardner Minshew? How do you evaluate his talents? Because it looks like some days people love him, and then some days they don't. What were your impressions of Gardner Minshew, and is there anywhere where maybe you'd like to give him another chance at being a starting quarterback?
Well, if I was Jacksonville, I'd definitely keep him, because if Trevor Lawrence come in and, you know, he's not picking up the speed as fast, you got Gardner Minshew. He could start. If you need him to start, he could start. But I think he's a great backup quarterback in the league, and if a quarterback get hurt and he has to start 5 to 6 weeks, he's more than capable of doing it. So I don't know. I don't look at him as like a, you know, the next Patrick Mahomes or nobody like that, man. We've seen him in the game. We've seen his winnability, but I think he's capable. But I think he's a backup quarterback, man. So if I was Jacksonville, I'll hold on to him as that veteran presence, and soon as Trevor Lawrence is ready, I have him in, and I have Gardner to back up.
Yeah, last division. I'm very interested to see what you think about the Broncos, Akib. They are 16-1 just to win the AFC West, and not just talking about them because they're your former team, but they've made some moves already. Mm-hmm. How do you think the Broncos, you think they can give the Chiefs a run in the AFC West?
Now, how they build this team, if Von and Chubb catch fire, man, I think they got a chance. This is a zone. They're going to play their zone. I'm sure they looked at what the Bucs did in the Super Bowl. I'm sure they already got it mapped out on how they want to play the Chiefs. So if Chubb and Von is healthy, man, and they can get after the quarterback like the Bucks got after the quarterback, that's where it's going to start, man. And shit, that's a great start to me. That's a great start, Von Chubb. So I think they got a chance, man. I wish that mess wouldn't have happened in Houston, and I wish Deshaun could just end up. If you put Deshaun in there, then I love their chances. I love him and him versus Mahomes, because he done went face-to-face with Mahomes plenty of times and came down to the wire. So you get him a good defense and a advantage like Mile High Stadium. If you give a Denver advantage like that, I like him, man. But we don't know what's going to happen with this quarterback situation. It's still iffy. If Drew Lock the quarterback, man, I'm a bet with the Chiefs. I ain't gonna lie, but if Deshaun was able to be that quarterback, they could really give Kansas City a run for their money.
Is there any reason, or what can? Because you said on a recent show, Keith, like, you know, Drew Lock's a good quarterback. He just might not be there yet.
Right.
Can, as someone who may have made this bet last week, can you give me a reason to hope if Drew Lock is still the quarterback, like what he can do, what you see in him that makes you believe he could eventually be the guy?
Man, his confidence is second to none. So that confidence, I'm telling you, when you have a guy in a major position like that, super confident, it goes throughout the locker room, man. So if he trusts those receivers, you know, Judy and him had some drops last year. If they go up and make some plays, Sutton be back, them guys go up and make plays for him, then, you know, It could turn good. It'll make him throw more 50-50 balls. Galladay number one. Sutton is number two or three. I like Robinson from Chicago. Sutton, he about number three or two or three at these 50-50 balls itself, man. So you got a guy who can catch him. You just got to trust Sutton. Trust Judy going to win on them routes, because can't nobody guard him. So just that confidence, man. He just got to believe in his guys, Paul. If he believe in his guys and he make throws and that O-line protect him, the O-line is they coming together, so, and that O-line protect him, man, this offense could catch fire. I think the defense is going to give him 8 wins. If that offense could come around, man, that'll put him at like 12, and 12 will get you an attorney.
Before we take this one home, I'm going to peel back the curtain for some of the audience and also let Akib know this too. So probably maybe for the last 2-3 weeks, you know, Paul and I have our little production phone calls, and he's been saying, I would really love to see Deshaun Watson to go to Denver. I would really love Deshaun Watson to go to Denver. And I didn't really ask why too much. And I had just assumed, well, you know, we probably have a strong audience. We have a strong audience from Denver. So therefore, he just wants us to talk about Denver more. Makes sense. I'm thinking as an editor, as a producer, and as a host.
Yeah.
Now I'm realizing Paul really wants this because he put some chips down.
Yeah.
I had an ulterior motive. Yeah.
A January bet.
Yeah, right. Get out ahead of the market.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that was. I guess we'll see what happens. The Deshaun Watson situation in Houston has been getting more hectic by the day. So I guess we have to see how that all fizzles out. And then we might have a finalization to that come around the NFL draft. We'll see. Obviously, the Houston Texans have picked up Tyrod Taylor. So who knows if they are prepared to potentially move Deshaun once this mess clears out. But we'll be coming back towards the NFL draft with some previews. Obviously, we'll have some analysis as well. We'll have some fun with it as a lot of kids' dreams are being made. Akib, do you remember what you were doing at this moment going into the NFL draft? The combine was already done, I would assume, by this point of your pro day. What were those weeks leading up to the NFL draft like?
I think I went back to Kansas, and I was just spending time with my daughter and just, you know what I'm saying, just taking it all in, man. I probably was done with school at that point. There probably was no classes being attended at that point. So I just was hanging out with my same friends in Kansas, man, and, you know, just taking it all in, man, getting ready for it.
Anybody ask you to cover any bills in advance? Well, you're about to be first round, bro.
Yeah, probably not at that point, but I mean, immediately after April the 20th, the calls started coming in for sure.
That's how it goes. Akib, enjoyed this one. Looking forward to breaking down the NFL draft, breaking down the next set of NFL prospects. Paul, maybe we'll get that Deshaun Watson bet to happen for us so you can make that Broncos early bid happen. We'll be back in a couple of weeks to get you guys ready for the NFL draft. You know what to do. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Call to the booth. We'll see you next time.